Live and Lansing with Michael Cohen. This is More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
And we're back. Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. Okay, let's get another perspective on right to work. Democrats stand opposed to this effort. To talk about why that is and what they plan to do about the push to pass this type of legislation, I'm joined by State House Minority Leader Richard Hamel. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Michael.
Now, companies do consider right to work as a factor when they look at opening a facility in a state with an over 11% unemployment rate. Shouldn't we be doing everything, including instituting right to work, to make sure we're competitive?
I had an opportunity to sit through a presentation the other day that was pretty glaring when it comes to that. I think a lot of times you can skew information in any way that you want. But based on the information that we saw, it's the right to work issue is really only about 14th down the list of things, reasons why the private sector folks invest in your state. An example was Toyota, which located in Texas, which is a right to work state. They said that the right to work legislation or environment there had nothing to do with their investment. It had everything to do with the market for trucks as well as the close proximity to their suppliers. And quite frankly, most of the private sector folks who invest in the state, they do it because of education funding, quality of life, and the ability to attract bright and young people here or to the place to actually work for them. So right to work really is not a factor like most people want to say it is.
Now, people who support right to work, they often distinguish between unionized workers and union leaders. They point that leadership is often the problem, not the workers themselves. Wouldn't an option not to pay the dues empower workers to have more of a say in union matters?
Well, I think I'm a union member, and so, you know, I see some things, and I never completely agreed with leadership in my union all the time, and that's just life. People don't agree with stuff, but they have the ability to make sure that they control that by through union elections like you do in any other election. And if you pay attention to that, especially in my industry in UAW, you see a lot of turnover because sometimes people aren't happy with what happens. But you create an unlevel playing field. If you have a union environment where people expect and they're bargaining for benefits and pay, and then one person or half a dozen or some folks say, you know, never mind, I'm not going to pay union dues. That just sets up an environment where they get to take advantage of the negotiated benefits, but yet they don't pay into the system. And that's just not fair when you look at it from that perspective.
You know, Democrats have not been able to stop any of the bills that Republicans are strongly behind. Is that likely to be the case with right-to-work legislation also?
Well, I don't know that there's as much big support for right-to-work as what it says. A lot of folks, as what you may seem, a lot of people said we need to have the conversation, and myself and a lot of other people who don't agree with right-to-work legislation says that we're willing to have that conversation. And I think that there's enough good information on all sides that says that if we just begin to keep investing in education and other things that we do, that's really what attracts the companies to the state of Michigan. And, you know, we've had a significant investment from GM, the big three, and other folks that are invested in battery technologies and other stuff, and they're not worrying about right-to-work legislation. So I'm ready for that conversation. I think it's about to happen, but I don't know whether or not it will really truly come to fruition and pass or not.
I'm talking to State House Minority Leader Richard Hamel. You know, right-to-work simply gives unionized workers the option to pay dues or not to pay, rather than having their employment hinged on those payments. If workers do indeed back their union, aren't they going to continue paying the dues?
Well, yeah, absolutely. And I think that they should continue to pay dues. I mean, here's an idea. The recent legislation that was passed, it says that the teachers shouldn't pay or won't be able to pay dues through their paychecks or whatever. And the idea was, well, that gives money back into people's back in their pockets. And that's a disingenuous argument. And so, I mean, I think most people understand that there are things that you pay for, and that's representation, and that's what unions call for. And, you know, I'm supportive of that, and I think most people are supportive of a collective bargaining process. But to turn around and try to hamstring that with legislation that says only a handful of people need to pay for that, when there are other options to make sure that there's checks and balances, I just think is a little out of line.
This effort, then, to make dues optional for teachers, do you think that's likely to be instituted on its own before any broader right-to-work legislation is considered?
I know it passed the House. I'm not sure what's going on in the Senate, but I would predict that it probably will pass. When it gets to the governor's desk, I can't say for sure what he will do, but, you know, I know that it's surely obvious that there's been an attack on teachers and teachers' rights over the last several months, so it wouldn't surprise me one bit if it was passed.
Now, we all know unions played a key role in the unions here in Michigan, especially a key role in early in the labor history. Now, do you believe that at this point some of the bureaucracy that's been built around these organizations may in fact be detrimental to businesses and workers?
Well, I think that I will give anybody the idea that some folks think that unions get a bad rap and that they're some private sector folks are a little nervous about investing, but I think they need to look no further than the UAW when it comes to private sector, especially with the work that was done in the last contract to try to save the automotive industry was done not only with management, but with much union support and the fact that they were able to kind of be flexible when it came to contracts. And I think that's something that can be a model for the entire state. So I don't see it as a detriment. I think that people ought to be happy about the training and the ability for folks to do good work, and they should look for that when they want to invest here in the state.
Just about a minute left. I want to veer off just for one question on the governor. He's in Asia at this point. He's visiting China, Japan, and Korea. Do you think this is a good trip for him to take, and do you generally believe that his approach to spurring investment from the Far East is going to work?
I think it's a good opportunity. I support it. I supported it when the Governor Granholm went, and I think it any opportunity for face-to-face with folks who look to invest in our state is important, and I support.
And what kind of investment do you envision coming from places like China to Michigan?
Well, they have invested a lot in alternative energy sources and a lot of high-tech stuff, so I think that there's a great opportunity for them to help and work with us and bring jobs over to the state. So I think it's always important to keep those relationships in a positive way.
I see. Well, you know, sir, some people do look at China as taking most of our jobs away from us, especially manufacturing, and they find it kind of curious that we're now trying to engage with them on further business deals that may lead to potentially more job loss.
Well, I mean, obviously my industry is the one that suffered a lot from that, but, you know, there's no reason that you don't continue the conversation, and they need a market over here just like, you know, we need to market with them. So as long as there's a level playing field, our workers can compete evenly with them without problem at all.
Richard Hamill, State House Minority Leader, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you, Michael.